I would like to again ask your prayers and ask you to read along with me today, if you would like to do that. I want to read some scripture that I believe is probably commonly read by many of you. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 1, I want to look at a few verses there for a scripture reading, beginning with verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, and I would encourage everyone to, if you haven't in a while, to just go and read that entire chapter, the first chapter of Isaiah. But we'll begin reading today with the 18th verse. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the holy or the mighty one of Israel, Ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and pearly purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them." That's concluding my reading lesson there, reading from verse 18 through the end of the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah here in this chapter was talking about a nation. And that's not really so much what I have on my heart today, what the Lord gave me to share with you. But I do want to say this. We hear a lot, it seems, all the time that about our country. Many of the things that are happening, many of the directions in which we're headed and have been for a while. And things that people are anticipating ahead with the economy and many other things that don't seem very promising to people right now. But we need to remember this, and we need to understand this, that America has bought her own problems. I mean, this nation of people, we brought these things upon ourselves, just like Israel had. You know, an individual, a household, a business, a nation, whatever it is, nobody just turns their back on God and prospers from it. Nobody. And I want to speak about a word today that's found in these verses of Scripture that I read. The lesson that I want to bring before you, the message today, will be based upon the word if. And I want to use for a title, if you will or if you won't. The word if is a very small word, it seems. It consists of two letters, I-F, if. We use it in our language every day, probably most of the time without really giving a whole lot of thought even to what we're saying. It's such a common word to us. It's so commonplace for us in our language to say, if this or if that. But it is used so many times in the Scriptures. If you look at your concordance, I'm not sure what kind you may have. I generally use a Strong's concordance. But when I open my Strong's concordance, there's just page after page in there of scriptures throughout the Bible that use the word if. And that little bitty word many times carries so much weight. The word if, in most cases, when we use that word in our language, it implies condition. It implies that there is a condition to something. If I could run faster, I could catch up with the other people or something of that nature. It implies a condition to something. And so I want us to think about that, because in the scriptures that we read here from the first chapter of Isaiah, there were promises made. And there was an if in those promises. There was a condition to those promises. And I want to tell you something else about this little word, if, if. There are so many scriptures in the Bible, and I want to share with you today just a few of them. But there are so many verses in the Bible that include the word if, that if you took that one little word out of that verse or out of that passage, maybe three or four verses together, if you took that one little word out of there, it would change the whole meaning of what is being said. Now, we heard this morning already in our Sunday school lesson, Brother Wheat made this statement, and I want to say amen to this. That God does not bless people for disobedience. I say amen. That's very true. God does not look down upon people and say, if you will disobey me, if you will go against everything I say, I'm going to do good things for you. God doesn't do that. But he does promise to bless people for obeying him. And so we find in these verses of Scripture where Isaiah the prophet was speaking to the nation of Israel and God speaking to them through the prophet, said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And you know, we need to understand that sin can dwell in a person. An individual can be guilty of sin. Sin can dwell within a nation. Sometimes we have circumstances and we have examples in the Scriptures where one person within a nation committed a hideous sin and it affected the whole nation of people and their standing with God. Now, you know, people today say, you're always hearing somebody talk about what's fair and what's not fair. And I'm not here today to talk to you about fairness or unfairness. I'm telling you today, as a matter of fact, that God has judged a whole nation of people because of what one person did. And sin can also dwell within a church. It sure can. And oftentimes, I believe what happened there with the nation of Israel, with Achan, when Achan disobeyed God and took those accursed goods from Jericho and did what God had told him not to do. And it, you know, if you read what the Bible says about that, it says that Israel has sinned. It didn't say that Achan, it didn't mention him alone, but it said because of what Achan had done that Israel had sinned. And we need to always remember that and understand that as members of the church. You know, the Bible says that talking about us being the body of Christ, but members in particular, and each one of us, as an individual member of the church, we need to always remember and never forget that something that we do in our own lives. You know, I think sometimes that we do things and we may think that I'm the only one that this is going to affect. You know, I know perhaps that I shouldn't do this, but you know, it's on me. It's between me and the Lord, but that's not true. We need to remember as individual members of the church that we can do something that will affect the whole body, that will affect the whole church, that will cause God to punish the whole body. And so sin can dwell on an individual basis. It can dwell within a nation. It can dwell within a family. It can dwell within a church. And listen, there's nothing good that you can ever say about sin. Nothing. I agree with Brother Wheat in what he spoke about this morning concerning when he was talking in Sunday school about concerning the use of alcohol. The way that people abuse alcohol, and you know, people want to do things like that and try to say all kinds of good things about it. Oh, it makes me feel this way, or it makes me feel that way, or it, you know, it takes the edge off, or it, you know, it helps me. I'm a shy person, and it brings something out in me where it helps me relax and be more social around other people. Listen, those things are just, those are self-lies. I mean, those are things that people just make up to justify something that's evil. It's not good. Sin is not good. Sin is never good. Sin needs to be repented of as soon as it pops its ugly head up, honestly. And so Isaiah here, or as I said, God perhaps speaking through the prophet Isaiah, said, come on and let us reason together. Let us reason together concerning your sins. Though they be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as wool. If. Now, you think about how different what was being said there would be if that word were removed. If it were removed, then there would just be a promise to them that those things were going to happen. But the prophet here said that those things can happen if you are willing and obedient. Amen. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. Now, listen. We need to understand today that God is not passive. God is not a passive God. And God is going to affect your life one way or the other. You're either going to have God's effective goodness upon your life, or you're going to have His punishment One way or the other. You know, there have been too many people for too many years that have had the pilot syndrome. You know how Pilate thought he could just stand right there in the middle? How that he thought he could just straddle the fence? I don't have to approve of it, or I don't have to disapprove of it. All I've got to do is, I don't want anything to do with it, so all I've got to do is just wash my hands of it. But let me tell you something. There's not a person living or ever has lived that can just wash his hands of Jesus Christ. Amen. It can't be done. Amen. One of these days, we're all going to see him. Amen? The Bible teaches me that, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. But everybody one day will see the glorious coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you today, he's coming. He's coming back. In my own opinion, he's going to come back soon. But I don't know when that's going to be. And the Bible tells me that no man knows when it's going to be. But I'll tell you again what I do know about it. That when he comes, it won't make any difference whether you are still alive or whether you have been one of those that has long since died and gone the way of the grave. Either way, the Bible teaches me that every eye is going to see him. I'm not going to miss that. They couldn't plant me 60 foot deep and make me miss that. Every eye. You know what? We may think about that, and we may have our own preference. And I'll be honest with you today, I didn't intend to go this way at all, but I'll just let the Lord have his way today. We may have our own desires. I've often thought that it would be something unique and something that I would aspire to be one of those alive and remaining at his coming. I heard a preacher one time say he hoped that he got to be standing in the pulpit declaring the Lord Jesus Christ to people when he made his return. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter. You know, however that it turns out, it doesn't matter, because nothing will prevent me from seeing his coming. The hour is coming when all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good under the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. And it doesn't talk about any group of people that'll just stand in the middle of those two things. We're going to come forth either to the resurrection of life or to the resurrection of damnation and evil. The Lord is going to have an effect on you, either good or bad. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the Lord is going to get his glory out of everybody. Out of everybody. And so, he's coming back. Listen. Listen to me today. Listen to me, especially if you're lost today. This is not something that you can sweep under the rug. I'm afraid sometimes that even Christian people believe that they can do whatever they want to with their life. But let me tell you something, that's not going to happen without paying the price. We are going to serve God and honor him with our lives, or we are going to be placed under his chastening hand if we don't. God doesn't just let us go. The Bible teaches me that he chastises all those that he loves. And if you profess to be a child of God and you can just go and live any way that you want to live and do any kind of sinful thing that you want to do and not feel the heavy chastening hand of God upon you in your life, then you need to start praying again for your soul, because the Bible teaches me that anybody that can do that is a bastard and not a son. God will not let His children walk in disobedience to Him without correcting them. What kind of parent would He be if He did? What kind of heavenly father would God be? What kind of earthly parent? I mean, if you want to be a good earthly parent, you can't just let your children do whatever they want, can you? You've got to correct them when they do wrong. God will chasten those that He loves. So if you're willing and obedient, I want to tell you something today, church. This promise comes straight from God. If we will obey the Lord, if we will walk in His ways, if we will follow the teachings of His Word, if we will listen to the Holy Spirit when He leads us and guides us and talks to us. Do you believe today that the Holy Spirit of God talks to His churches? Well, He does, if we look in the book of Revelation, it says, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches." That is the one that we need to listen to above everybody else. We need to listen to the person of the Holy Spirit of God. When we've got something facing us as a church, I'll tell you that it's good to have good counsel. It's good to have good advice. But I believe that the Holy Spirit of God can lead a church and tell a church what is the right thing to do in every situation. And if we will listen to the Lord, if we will listen to the things that He tells us, you can believe that God will bless our church. Amen. If we will listen to the Lord, if you will listen to God in your life, you're going to have to trust Him. Because He may take you down paths sometimes that may not seem right to you. I'm sure that as we read in the Scriptures, I'm sure that when He was leading Israel out of Egypt on the Exodus, no doubt they questioned, why did God lead us right up here to a sea? Why did He lead us to a place where the sea is blocking us from going further, and Pharaoh and his men are pursuing us from behind? Listen, we may not always understand the ways that God will lead us, but if you'll follow His lead and give God right away and trust Him and be obedient to the things that God tells you to do and follow His leadership, God will never lead you in the wrong direction. He'll lead you, Sister Shuffet, in the paths of righteousness. Not for you, but for His namesake. If we are willing and if we are obedient, we will see the blessings of God upon our lives. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I made note of some scriptures. The first time that I could find that the words ever even mentioned is in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, when Cain was upset that God had accepted the sacrifice of his brother Abel and hadn't accepted his. He was angered about it. The Bible tells us, Genesis 4 and 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." You will, if you will, or if you will not. The Scriptures tell us what will happen in both situations, in both reactions to God, if you will, he told Cain, if you will, you'll be accepted. If you won't, then sin lies at the door. We hear this scripture quoted so many times, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Listen to this. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's not what the Bible says, is it? If you take that one little word out of there, that condition out of there, it changes everything about what's being said. If we remove that, then it's telling us that God's people will repent before him, that he will hear from heaven, that he will heal their land. But that's not what it's saying. God said, if these things come up on you, if you will do these things, if my people shall turn to me in prayer, if my people shall humble themselves. And when I read this again, I thought about the various things that God said in that. If we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek his face, if we will turn from our wicked ways. You know what? There's something we need to understand. If a person hasn't turned from their wicked ways, they haven't repented. They haven't repented. When we offend God, we're not supposed to just go before God, and we need to understand this about forgiveness. We're not supposed to just go before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did this, and I hope this prayer is over pretty soon so I can go do it again. Turning away from those things. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if we will do these things, then God said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. Deuteronomy 4:29. But from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him. I'm going to stop there for a minute. But from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. That's not what the Bible says. It says if. If you do that. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. There is so much based upon what we are willing to do, if we will do it. We had a lesson Wednesday night about the doctrine known as Calvinism, the doctrine that teaches unconditional election, unconditional salvation. But salvation is not unconditional, is it? There are conditions to salvation. I could tell you today that I could stand before you today and say to you that are lost, you will repent and trust the Lord and you will be saved from your sins. I don't know if that's true or not. But I can tell you this, if you will repent of your sins, if you will trust the Lord with all your heart, if you will seek the Lord the way that Deuteronomy 4:29 tells us here, if you will seek after him in that way, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. But lost friend, listen, if you won't do that, you're going to split hell wide open. If you won't do that, you're going to die lost and without God. You're not going to someplace in between. If you die and leave this world lost, you're going to hell. and you're going to suffer its torments for all eternity. But if you will turn to the Lord based upon the conditions of obedience laid down to us in the gospel, there are conditions to a person being saved. Salvation doesn't come by works, but I'll tell you what, it does come by obedience. You have got to obey the gospel if you're ever going to be saved. And so, First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. I want to share just a few more with you before I stop. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We could take one word out of that and we could say, we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and we don't do the truth. We do these things and we have fellowship with God, but that's not what we're told, is it? It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we're lying. We're not speaking the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what the scriptures tell us is if we do these things, if we confess our sins, if we confess them before him, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at Matthew 27, 39 and 40, what they said about Jesus. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you didn't have that word if in there, it changed the whole meaning of that verse. Because you know what they said? They said, if thou be the Son of God. They didn't believe that he was, did they? When those people were passing by, they didn't believe that. They say, well, if you are who you say you are, just come down. They were mocking him, making fun of him, reviling him. If you're him, I'll tell you what. The Lord, you're never going to find the Lord Jesus Christ if you're not convinced of who he is. When I came to Jesus seeking him for salvation, I didn't come thinking, well, you know, if you're God, if you're the Lord, I came trusting him, trusting him. If you're the Son of God, they weren't convinced even that he was. Think about it. Think about it in your life. You think about the situations in your own life where you've pondered it in your mind. You've looked at something and you've said, you know what? I know if I would just get rid of this, I know that God would bless me. He's been dealing with me about it, been dealing with my heart on the matter, and I know if I were to just let it go and repent of it and get rid of it, I know the Lord would bless me for it. But you know what? That condition is hanging there, isn't it? It all hinges on that, on what we are willing to do, what we're willing to let go of. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If our nation will turn back to God in repentance, He'll bless us if we will do it. I appreciate your attention. I hope that something's been said that's helped somebody. I'd like for us to have a song.